Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we're going to have a show that I'm very excited about and one that I'm looking forward to. We're going to speak with Mr. Trevor Loudon. He's an author, filmmaker, and public speaker from Christchurch, New Zealand. For more than 30 years, he's researched radical left, Marxist, and terrorist movements and their covert influence on mainstream politics. His thesis is that what is commonly regarded as mainstream political policy is in fact driven and guided by hidden subversive elements. The Democratic Party's consistent defunding of the U.S. military to Obamacare, the normalization of relations with communist countries such as Cuba, the $15 minimum wage, and the push for illegal immigration and amnesty are all part of the agenda to move us towards communism in the United States. He's currently working on a new film, Enemies Within the Church, and his seminal work, The Enemies Within, was released in 2016. You know, we need to come to terms with what it means if the United States becomes a communist country. At this point, there have been countries across the world who've experienced it, and it seems that we're not taking advantage of the experience of these other countries, and we're in perhaps for a rude awakening. And Trevor, I just want to lay it out there first. What would it mean if the United States became a communist nation?
Gone. I mean gone. It'll never, ever recover. We will be a third world country, and we will be eventually invaded by Russia and China. That's what the plan is. And so everything you're seeing around you is designed with that goal in mind. You've got to read books like Unrestricted Warfare by the Chinese. They want to occupy America. They've got surplus population and hardly any land. They want to take America. They write about this. So they have their Black Lives Matter, which is a Chinese operation. They deliberately wrecked the economy with their COVID. And then they help to steal the election. Plus, they're killing 60,000 kids every year with fentanyl, and that's going to go up as people get more desperate. And so that they're stealing our technology. Trump's intelligence advisor John Ratcliffe said that the Chinese had blackmailed and co-opted so many U.S. congressmen they could determine which legislation passes the U.S. Congress and which doesn't. That's where we are. We're not about to go over the cliff. We've gone over the cliff, and now we've got to claw ourselves back up. So look, if you care about your kids, if you care about your grandchildren, you care about yourself, you got to understand we're in a war now. We're in a revolution, and you better get active. You better join the group. You better help your friends. You better start, storing up your food and that kind of thing. Getting your communities organized, because we're in for a wild ride.
You know, I think part of the way to unhook this is to get rid of the left and right paradigm. You just described how Congress is being bought off. I don't think it's just the Democratic side. I think it's both sides from what I'm determining.
No.
And if we can... go ahead.
No. Well, the Democrats... You know, and I don't know what your audience is, but the Democrats are now under communist control, as are some parts of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Not all of the Republican Party, but some parts of it. That's where we are.
Well, can you think of it as globalists versus nationalists? Because that seems to be the dividing point. It's not a two-party system. It's basically a one-party system where they're getting theirs. You know, they're... living large on the backs of all of us.
The real divide, as you say, is the individual versus the collective. You know, do we live in a society where we have individual sovereignty, where your community runs its own affairs, where your state is in control of your state's affairs, where your country has national sovereignty, or do you live in a globalist, tyrannical system? So really, it is local control and individual sovereignty versus top-down tyrannical control. That's where it's at. The Bernie bros, Bernie Sanders, identifies a lot of the real problems, you know, the crony capitalism, the big corporations and some of the things they do. He identifies some of the correct problems. Just the problem is his solution is more of it, you know. But a lot of those Bernie Sanders people, they share the same concerns we do. They just need to get with the right solutions.
You know, I would go one step further because they talk a good game, but they're part of the bourgeoisie. But I mean, he's got houses now. He's got books. He made out like a bandit based on this rhetoric. But yeah. He's not living.
Right,
like
I'm not talking about Bernie Sanders himself. He's a crook. I'm talking about the grassroots Bernie supporters. Mm-hmm. But you know, they're concerned about what they see, that the takeaway, how our freedoms being eroded. They see the same problems we do. They just listen to Bernie's solutions, which are completely wrong.
But the solutions just benefit the 1%. Do they not see that?
Yeah. No,
so
they don't.
It's like a total disconnect. How can we get everybody on the same page? Because they've done a masterful job of letting us see the qualitative differences between us. But I do believe that if they're into freedom and individual rights, how do we bridge that gap and get rid of the overseers, the label makers? Either you're a Bernie supporter, you're on the Trump train. It's irrelevant. It's about us. And if we all want the same thing, how do we cut through that narrative?
See, it's really America first. It's really those social core values. See, Donald Trump won because he appealed to the socially conservative people. And a lot of the liberally fiscal people are actually still socially conservative. He got a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters because he appealed to people of faith. He appealed to people who believe in America first, borders, independence, national sovereignty, you know, all the things that made America great. Mm-hmm. That's what he appealed to, not the Republican free trade mantra that was all about let's just make as much money as we can with China and to heck with the consequences. You know, so there's a message that appeals to 80% of America. America first, the Constitution, American jobs first. Keep this country safe. Let states run their own affairs. You know, just Americans running their own country independently, maximum freedom. That was his message. And you keep your own social customs. You have your own religion. Government's not going to interfere with that. You keep your guns. You keep your businesses. Government is off your back. And that's a message that appeals to 80% of this country, but the Republicans wouldn't articulate it. Trump articulated it, but he had a little bit of baggage that made it hard for some people to swallow. But his message, his way of doing things is the way forward. But we've got to keep, you know, that America first message. I want to see a nationwide America First movement that sort of brings in all the Tea Party groups and the Trump clubs and the grassroots groups and the independents and the patriotic Democrats. You know, what do we need to do to put America first? What do we need to do to save this country? And I think 80% of people support that, when that's presented to them that way.
I think you're right. And it has to be it's the tone of the message, I think, just as important as the message. And on that note, let's take our first break and come back and tease that apart. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Trevor Loudon. He's an author, filmmaker, public speaker, and people need to go to his website, Trevor Loudon, TrevorLoudon.com, where you can find the links to his books, to his movies, and what he's doing now. And before the break, we were talking about what makes us the same, what brings us together. And if freedom, liberty, individual, personal responsibility was really important, if we can get that on the table, I mean, I don't care if we're left or right, we let the media define us. People who wanted to take their power back were racist, sexist, wanted people to die. I mean, it was just unbelievable what came through the media unchecked. Now we're seeing censorship out the wazoo, and we're just letting it happen. I mean, you're seeing people on the front line. Have they tuned out to the media, the mainstream media? Are they? I assume they must be if they're moving to meeting with each other in person.
Yeah, the mainstream media right now is regarded like used car salesmen. you know, it really is. Nobody, you know, they have a very shrinking audience. Mm-hmm. And the alternative media is springing up, but that's why the left are trying to cancel it. They're trying to cancel all our alternatives, you know, shut down our Twitter and shut down our Facebook and our groups and all that kind of thing, because they never want to see us gather again and challenge their power. But we've got to. We've got to move on to those alternatives like Gab and Parler and Donald Trump's new platform and Mike Lindell's new platform. That's where we got to go. And we've got to build a nation within a nation. You know, we've got to shop with each other's businesses, stop giving our money to the enemies of this country. You know, Trump gave very good advice. You know, when the companies were trying to suppress Georgia for cleaning up its voting, you know, Trump said, well, boycott the Major Baseball League, boycott UPS, boycott Coca-Cola. Absolutely. If those countries are trying to wreck America, why are we giving them our money? You know, there's 80 million Trump voters out there. There's another 20 million people who wish they had voted for Trump. It's 100 million people withdrawing their support for woke leftist businesses. We keep that up and they will be out of business pretty darn quick.
I think the conversation or the language that everybody understands is money. And they think that they've removed the competition. They did a bang-up job. 18,000 doctor's offices, independent doctor's offices closed over the country. That's a lot of doctors gone who ran their own concern. And they thought that they did that with small business as well. And they were unbelievably saying that, oh, you're supporting small businesses by buying with Amazon. And I'm like, really? No, you're not. So, I mean, the hubris is just astounding. And I absolutely agree with you. And I live in Georgia. And the Coke, the share of Coke products bought down 25% here in Georgia.
Really?
Yes. And now they're talking about we need to come together and blah, blah, blah. It's a complete opposite tone now that people stop buying their products. So you can bring them to heel if you stop, supporting them. Why would you support something that hates you? They hate everybody. They don't like black people, white people, anybody.
Yeah, they do. And so this is how the Indians got the British out of India in the 40s. They wanted their independence. The British wouldn't give it to them. They didn't have a war. They didn't have a revolution. They just did a nationwide boycott of all British goods and services. And a little while, the British said, we can't make any money here. Let's go. And they left. And they gave India their independence. Well, we got 80 million to 100 million people. We should be boycotting everything that comes from China, the Communist Party of China, everything. Buy American. It might cost you a little more. It'll last twice as long. And you're feeding an American family, not building up the Chinese military. You know, buying China today is like buying Nazi Germany in 1938. They are building up their army to fight us, and we shouldn't be helping them. You know, it's a great example. A few months ago, the companies that were in charge of American military pensions were going to invest all that money in communist Chinese companies, most of them connected to the People's Liberation Army. So American servicemen and women's money was going to go to communist China to build the tanks and planes and guns and bombs that would be used to kill the people who financed it. And President Trump had to stop that by executive order. Stop it. But the fact that people would be even considering that shows how corrupt the financial system is in this country.
I agree with you. And an article just came out about Honeywell selling secrets about the F-18 to China, and nothing happened to them. So this has been going on for quite a while.
Yeah, well, these executives should be in jail for treason.
Yeah.
You know, they should be in jail. They are breaking laws doing this kind of stuff. You know, this should be 15 years in jail. But, you know, they get a little bit of a fine and slap on the wrist, you know, because right now we've got China's friend in the White House. And that's a horrific situation to be in.
I mean, not only the White House, but Congress, too, from what you described. I mean, if nothing else, this is taking the lid, because it's been very underground. No one understood or knew the extent of this takeover. I mean, I remember having you on the show a few years back, and you said, oh, you know, if you were to look at Congress and those people who work for the country versus those who don't, we'd be getting rid of about 2/3 of the Congress people. Now we can actually see that. I don't think nobody could really get their minds around that, but it certainly makes a big difference when you're listening to Congress people literally tell you how wonderful China is and we should just take it and reverse policies and open our borders up.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, here's an example. Eric Swalwell, the congressman from California, Democrat, was caught sleeping with a communist Chinese spy. She helped to get him elected. She was with him for a long time. Now that man serves on the Intelligence Committee of the House of Representatives. He oversees and listens to the secrets of the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the DEA, or 16 of your intelligence agencies. And when it's revealed that this man was sleeping with a communist Chinese spy, Nancy Pelosi refused to remove him from the Intelligence Committee. That's how deeply compromised the Democrats are with the Chinese. Nancy Pelosi has deep ties to China. Her husband has made millions dealing with China, and she has a deep communist background herself.
She's not the only one. Who else? I mean, Bernie Sanders.
No, there's at least. Yeah.
Wait, didn't he have?
Look, there's at least 100 members of the House and 25 members of the Senate who are so involved with the Chinese, the Iranians, the Cubans, the Communist Party, etc. They couldn't pass an FBI background check to drive a school bus in any county in this country. But they're running the Homeland Security Committee, the Armed Services Committee, the Intelligence Committee, the Education Committee, the every major committee in Congress and the Senate is now controlled by a Marxist.
You can also see the rhetoric has changed right after January 6th, where people are considered terrorists if they have an alternate opinion. And it's people, like, they want to hunt people down. They want to troll through your social media. They want to remove you from society, you know, whether that's getting your job taken from you or ostracizing you on social media. This is an active campaign. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. And they're doing it out and about. This is not hidden anymore. It's almost like it's a badge of honor to out somebody.
Yeah. This is communist tactics. You earn, you know, brownie points for informing on your neighbor. You know, they're purging the military of Christians, conservatives, Trump supporters, etc., because they need an army that will implement the socialist revolution. They can't have patriots in the army. They're getting rid of every patriot they can. They are purging businesses. They're purging people who supported Trump, who donated to Trump. You know, this is a demonization of the majority of the country. The majority of the country believes in American values, the Constitution, borders, keeping the country safe, the free enterprise system. If you believe in those things now, you're a white supremacist. And you can even be black.
I know that.
And you can be a white supremacist if you believe in those.
Yeah, there are black white supremacists.
I'm sure
all
you
over.
Do, Elena. Sorry?
It's black white supremacists all over now, according to these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. It's that insane, isn't it?
Yeah, it is insane.
You know, it's anybody who believes in freedom, the Constitution, Christianity, traditional American values, you're basically a Nazi now.
But see, this is upside down. They're using Nazi techniques, and they are the Nazi party. It's a socialist party, and they're making everybody who's a capitalist sound like they are. It's they get to decide the language. They get to change the meaning of words. They get to basically gaslight everybody, and they don't have a gene that – you know, this is over the top. We're going to say that doesn't exist for these guys. They just double down when you call them on it.
Yeah, there's no shame. Well, no. We see they live in a different ethical world than we do. We believe in the truth and objectivity and integrity. They believe in the revolution. Any lie told to serve the revolution is revolutionary truth. You know, Lenin took over Russia with 2,000 Bolsheviks, 2,000, a country of 140 million people at the time. You know, Castro took over Cuba with 80 people. You know, Hugo Chavez had a couple of hundred. That look, this is a science. This is a science of revolution. They know this is Leninism. They know how to divide, how to demonize your enemies, how to put your enemies under contempt, how to cause fear amongst the community so nobody will stand up for each other. This has been done 50 times around the world in countries from Vietnam to Mongolia to Cuba to Venezuela to the Congo to South Africa. This is the same old communist playbook. We are in a communist revolution. And if, as I said, if you don't believe me, seek out somebody from Cuba or from Romania or Czechoslovakia or Hungary or the former Soviet Union, and you ask them what America's in right now and see what they tell you.
Man, on that note, let's take our second break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Trevor Loudon, and he's currently working on a film, Enemies Within the Church, which I can't wait to see, because I think that's been a source of promoting this agenda. You know, we've heard from main leaders in the church stating, for example, I think, and I want to ask you a question about the COVID situation, but he was saying, you know, Jesus would get a vaccine and you should do it because that's what Jesus would do. And that goes against the tenets of Christianity, really, because your savior is God. It's not man. It's not an injection. It is your faith in a higher power. And they're really making a move towards you can't have church. You can't be around each other. Trust in science. And the science is questionable, I have to admit. But trust in the science, listen to us, we know what's best for you. And it's pervading the education system, as you said before, now we have church. And is COVID being used as a means, another means to bring this in?
Look, absolutely. You know, COVID had several purposes. One was to destroy, and it was deliberately spread by the Chinese. There's no question about that. So it was used to A, destroy Trump, B, to wreck the U.S. economy so the Chinese can buy up lots of our stuff cheap and put us out of work and make us more easily manipulated into revolution. It was designed to destroy the United States military budget, and it was designed to give the Democratic governors and some Republicans a whole range of controls, plus the medical establishment, a whole range of controls to basically put us into a police state, to take away our freedoms. Look, they could never have taken away the freedoms they have if they didn't have an epidemic to do it. You think they could have shut down every church in America if they didn't have an epidemic? Or, you know, or shut down businesses for months at a time, or run up massive, massive debts that our great-grandchildren will be paying all of their lives? You think they could have done it without an epidemic? This is a classic crisis. And the old saying is never let a crisis go to waste. So this is, there's a little joke I heard the other day. You might appreciate this, Elena. A guy's in his doctor's office and he said, "Doc, when are all these COVID shutdowns going to finish?" And the doctor said, "How should I know? I'm not a politician."
Yeah, I like that, actually. I mean, it's the politicians running the science side of this, and the goalpost keeps moving. That's the thing that I'm just shocked that people can't see that either.
Yeah, because it's not about public health. This is the totalitarian's dream. They get to tell you, this is what they've been working for all their lives. They get to tell you everything. They get to dictate to a whole country. They get to stand up there and play God over a whole country. This is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to some of these people. You think they're going to give that up just because the science doesn't agree with them?
Apparently not, since finally you have scientists coming out and giving us the real view of against the narrative. You know, the fact that the PCR test, they changed the number of cycles because at 40 cycles, there was a 97% false positive rate. And now I understand they dropped it. And now that the COVID vaccine or injection is out there and cases are rising again, they're going to change what's considered to be positive on those PCR tests again. So we have a moving target based on whether the narrative is going to work or not. It's amazing. And I can't believe scientists are
in this. Nothing to do with science. And so nobody trusts anything that comes out of, you know, if you trust what comes out of the government over COVID, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I got a great deal for you, you know, because this is horrible, because if something genuinely came along that was a problem, people are so turned off the science, so distrustful of the system, that it would be a bit of a cry wolf situation, you know? Oh, yeah, they lied to us about COVID. What else are they going to lie to us about?
You know, I wish that, and maybe you can't trust the numbers coming out of the mainstream media either, but I talk to people every day and, you know, you ask them, did you know that the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID or being able to transmit it? And they go, yeah, I know that, but they still get the injection. So my question is, I mean, that is just like a cognitive dissonance. You know, it doesn't do what it says it's supposed to do. You know, it's not been long enough to be vetted, yet you still do it anyway.
It's just going on as just group think. You know, my wife worked in drug safety policy, you know, for many years for pharmaceutical companies, writing drug safety policy. She says, you wouldn't touch this. It's been through no testing. There's no liability. This is a mass experiment, and nobody knows what's going to happen from it, except maybe the people who designed both the disease and the cure, so-called cure. Mm. And we're supposed to trust this. You know, if you trust your family or your life to the government authorities, you really get what you deserve, because if you're that naive, who can save you?
Well, is it a way to determine how successful their propaganda has been? I mean, if you can.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. Let's see how far we can push this. Wow, they swallowed that. Mm-hmm. Gee, we'll push it a bit further. Oh my gosh, they swallowed that too. How could they swallow that? Let's go a bit further again. You know, let's just push. I know it contradicts what we said last week, but these people are going to swallow anything. This is amazing. We never believed that people could be so easily manipulated. This is our beyond our wildest dreams.
When you look at historically, you mention all these countries that went into communism using the same playbook, using the same strategy. They didn't have a pandemic, most of them, right? How did they, I mean, we have a different society where media blankets, where as we said at the beginning of the show, they can censor. And so if you're locked in that system where you don't seek alternative knowledge, you're really going to be set up to believe one, this one thing. How on earth did they, was it just tyranny? Was it, you know, butchering people and just terrorism in terms of your personal safety? How did they roll that out? Was it carrot and stick? How did they start that process?
Well, it was, see, most of these countries that communism took over didn't have the constitutional structures that America had. They didn't have the economic strength that America had or the military strength. So they were a lot easier to take down. You know, they could start wars, start terrorist movements, intimidate people, kill business leaders and kill people who stood in their way. Well, that America was too strong for that. Mm. So you had to have something that would bypass the Constitution, that would weaken the economy, make people desperate, make people fearful. And a pandemic is really the ideal thing. And see, you know, when they took over Russia, they back in 1917, they didn't have, you know, the ability to let pandemics go on countries. They didn't have the ability to genetically modify viruses or anything like that. So this is just a modern weapon, but the revolutionary principles are the same. You know, it's always a combination of propaganda, of some violence, of divide and conquer, of suppression of free speech, of taking over the major institutions and intimidating anyone who stands in your way. All of those things we're seeing playing out now in various combinations. But the virus is what put us in the weak enough position where those things could take hold. They couldn't have done what they've done without the virus. So that was just a modern communist weapon, you know, that enabled them to make a lot of progress very quickly. But the principles they're using are still the same, the divide and conquer, demonizing your enemies, you know, clamping down on your enemies, stopping free communications, trying to disarm the people. All of that's traditional communist stuff. The COVID just got us into the position where we were weak enough that that could be implemented.
I know we're going to take a break in about a minute and a half, but I want to give this one other thing or additional. Is there some sort of you're special? Because you want to, you play the game, somehow you're better than people who have a question or want to control their own fate? Because it seems to be some of that playing a role here too, that there is this, you're somehow morally better or ethically better than someone who doesn't want to do or go along.
Yeah, you're the responsible global citizen. You're the enlightened progressive. You're one of the elite. Like I had a friend who was in the communist movement. He was a communist with Obama at Occidental College. And I said, John, when you took over, when the revolution came, were you going to work in a factory like everybody else? And he said, oh, no, no, no. I would be one of the revolutionary elite. I'd be one of the special progressives. I'd be the minister of culture, or the Minister of Agriculture, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be one of the 1,000 people ruling. So these people don't feel just morally superior. They want to make everybody who buys into their silly game a morally superior person and demonize anybody who doesn't. And we all know the truth is exactly the opposite. If you buy into the socialist horrific dream, you're morally defective. If you want to stand up for yourself and your family and live a free life, you're a morally superior being, and we have to act that way.
I couldn't have said it any better. On that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living a Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Trevor Loudon, and again, his website is trevorloudon.com, and people can buy your books as well on your site, can't they?
Yeah, just go to trevorloudon.com. I have about four books on there, and especially my DVD, Enemies Within. That was seen by 3 million people on Amazon Prime, but then they pulled it down just before the election. But that details the Marxist and Islamist takeover of the Congress and the Senate. That will shock you. That will really shock you, that movie.
That's how I got introduced to you. I saw that movie and it opened my eyes and I haven't looked back. Knowledge is power. I think you cannot stick your head in the sand and hope for the best. We're now in a position where you have to make a choice about your personal freedom, your individual rights, irrespective of your religion, your color, your creed. It really doesn't matter, because you just described before the break that those that espouse this system believe that they're somehow entitled and special, and they're going to lord it over us. They're going to, it's like the Stanford experiment. Those who were the, you know, the people who were the jailers became more sadistic and more cruel as this experiment went on. I feel like we're living in it almost, but there's more of
well,
us.
We are, you know, the self-righteous people who think it's their duty to phone the police if three people are having a party in the next door apartment, you know.
But it doesn't make them special. And if this system ever gets online, they're going to be the ones they take out first, because they don't need them. You know, they're means to an end.
That's the irony of it. The people who promote the revolution are often the first to die when the revolution is successful, because they don't want agitators. They want compliant people.
And they don't want to get their just desserts. And if they don't, they're going to become a problem. So, yeah, I got you. So let's go back to politics for a second. You know, this whole last election was crazy. The post-election period was crazy. Do you think, I do believe a majority of the country voted against what we're seeing now. Was this a watershed moment where we could have created a third party and removed this system and we didn't take advantage of it?
Well, see, a third party was on the go. It was really getting ready to go. And I was on phone calls with people, and then Trump came out and said, no, we don't want it. And that sort of killed the energy of it. See, what Trump is going to do, and this is what I'm advocating right now, and I would have been all aboard with a third party, to be honest. I thought it would have been pretty good. But we haven't got that option right now. And what Trump is going to do is he's already vetting a whole bunch of candidates for the Republican primaries in 2022. And he's got a list of all the rhinos who voted to seal that election, who are all should be fired. And he's calling on everybody to get registered in the Republican primaries. Doesn't mean you have to be a Republican, go to their meetings, listen to Mitch McConnell. But when those primaries are run, you can go and vote, and we can vote out every single rhino and replace them with a whole bunch of Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts and Josh Hawleys, and effectively create our own party after the 2022 elections. Mitch McConnell will be gone. Kevin McCarthy will be gone. The GOP will be a populist grassroots party that will welcome a whole bunch of independents and former Democrats, because it will not be the party of the elites any longer. It'll be the grassroots populist constitutional party that it always should have been, that it started as.
You know, I would actually take that a step further. I don't believe that the Republican Party at this point is the party of the elite. I think it's the Democratic Party. That's the party of big business. Well, big government, you know, it's switched somewhere along the line. And I think, again, it came down to globalists versus people who love their country. And again, they ended up being able to define what a nationalist was. And I don't care what country, if you're from the Caribbean, you love your country. If you're from Europe, there's nothing wrong with loving your country. And you should be proud of that.
Look, you should be proud of yourself. You should be proud of your family.
Yep.
You should be proud of your town and your state and your country. If you're not, what's wrong with you? You know,
yeah.
What's wrong with you? You shouldn't be ashamed of being proud of any of those things. That's how people should be. And that's how we were designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to be.
Well, they've actually made that into something you should be ashamed of. And again,
yeah.
Defining things that absolutely make no sense. I know a black white supremacist makes no sense. And they bandy that about constantly, amongst other things. And the biggest victim group, you know, it's moving from group to group. First it was black people, now it's Asian people. We're all equal. We're different. I take
then
that
it
back.
There was gay people, then they got accepted. Then it was transgender people, you know. Then it's going to be pedophiles next.
Well,
that's
possible.
They're going to go, it's just all about division and social change. The left doesn't care about the rights of these people.
No.
They just want to use it to break down what we have, to break down the family unit, to break down everything we hold dear. But, you know, you're right. When I was talking about the Republican Party being the party of the elites, the elitist wing in the Republican Party is on the defensive now. It's being taken down. And so I'm just urging everybody to get behind President Trump's candidates in 2022 and just completely take over that party.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute. The speed at which the current administration is, you know, throwing over the table, you know, the game, they're having people come in who are not vetted. They're bringing in people who are ill and threading them throughout the society. That's a problem. So can we hold out to 2022, what is going to go on if it continues at this rate with the executive order flurry?
Yeah.
I don't see how we can wait until 2022.
Well, look no, and this is it. See, I wrote an article for the Epoch Times. It was the New Zealander's 9 starter steps for saving America from socialism. And about number 7 was what I suggested with President Trump. But number 3 or 4 was we have to build a compact of free states.
Mm.
That means all of the free states, that's from Alaska all the way through the middle of the country down to the Gulf of Mexico and the Florida Keys, all have to join together in a block, not secede from the union, but join together in a block and refuse to take unconstitutional orders from the federal government. You're not taking our guns. You're not taking our religious liberties. You're not taking our freedom of speech. Keep out of our states with your unconstitutional overreach. If you had 30 states all banded together, plus the red counties of the blue states, that's 80% of America. That's what we have to do to block the communism that's coming. So we can get to 2022. So we can make President Harris. Did I say President Harris?
Yeah, you did.
I meant President Biden, sorry. Make them lame ducks. You know, but you're right. If we don't do something on the state level, we won't get to 2022. There'll never be a meaningful 2022. Right now, they plan to legalize 22 million illegal immigrants and give them all citizenship and voting rights. That'll be another 20 million Democrat voters right there. And considering most elections are won or lost by under 5 million votes, you can see that what that'll do.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And, you know, I think the states are doing it. We're seeing no vaccine passports. I think Wyoming passed that.
Yeah.
Florida passed that. I can't remember if Texas did. But that is, it's integral, because that to me is a really important linchpin. You lose the right to freedom of movement. I mean, yeah, you can choose not to leave the country, but you have to be able to go. And I can see if they do it internationally, they'll try to do it from state to state. That's completely unacceptable from a healthcare perspective.
Look, see, Biden the other day said to Ron DeSantis of Florida, you need to close your restaurants, Mr. DeSantis. And DeSantis says no. So Biden said, well, we might have to cut air travel into Florida,
mm-hmm.
even road traffic into Florida. Well, he could do that to Florida, but he couldn't do it to Florida and Alabama and Louisiana and Mississippi and Texas and Missouri and Arkansas and Kansas and Idaho and Indiana and Ohio and South Dakota, North Dakota, right up to Alaska. He couldn't do it to 30 states.
I see what you
mean. He couldn't do it.
So there is power in numbers. If we take our power
back,
then
we are the majority.
Yeah. Well, I think that's key. We have to really know that and believe it instead of listening to this monolithic voice of you have no power, just sit back. There's no way you can beat us. You've already lost. They keep saying that because they have to. If we ever just woke up and said, I'm not doing it.
This is all bluff.
Yeah.
This is all bluff. They have to convince us that we cannot win. You know, the story of the, you know, in India, they tie up little baby elephants to a stick in the ground. And the little baby elephant tries to pull away and it can't do it. Well, when the elephant's about 5 ton and it's huge, they still tie it to the ground with a little stick. But the elephant thinks it can't break away, so it doesn't try. You know? And they have, their whole job is with the media, and that is to convince us we've lost, to demoralize us. And we have way more power than we think, and where they have way less power than we think. We have to have the courage to stand up at individual level, at county level with our constitutional sheriffs, and at state level. We have enough power in this country to stop the unconstitutional overreach of the federal government stone cold dead if we choose to do it.
Well, I think that is the best way to end the show, because it empowers all of us. I don't care what you look like, where you are. It has to be from a grassroots level. We have the power. They're afraid of us. And we need to literally take our power back. So again, Trevor, how can people buy your movies, get your books, and read more about what you do?
Well, thanks, Elaine. Thanks for having me on. Just go to trevorlowden.com. But when you search for it, put it in the browser at the top of the page. Don't try and Google trevorlowden.com, because Google won't bring it up. DuckDuckGo probably would. But put it in the browser at the top of your page, trevorlowden.com. All my books and DVDs are available there, and they will shock you.
Shock you and make you feel empowered, I guess I would say, because that's how I felt.
Well, the truth sets you free. You know, no matter how bad the truth is, it's still better than living in a fog or a daze, because you don't know what to do. At least when you know what the problem is, you can see your path of action. And that you don't have stress. When you've got a path of action and you know what you're going to do, you don't have stress eating you away. Mm-mm. When you don't know what to do, that's when the stress eats your heart out. You've got to know the truth. You know, the Bible doesn't say, you know the truth, the truth shall set you free for nothing. That applies in every area of life.
I absolutely subscribe to that myself. And well said, Trevor. I can't wait to have you on again. Thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Elaine. Pleasure.
And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Events.